Osho, the miracle, talks on Zen, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 8.
Beloved Bhagwan, Yun Men said, "My duty compels me to attempt the impossible. Even in telling you to look directly into yourself and to be unconcerned about other things, I am already burrowing the real thing under verbiage. If you proceed from thence and set out in quest of words and sentences, cudgeling your brains over their logical meanings, working out 1,000 possibilities and 10,000 subtle distinctions, and creating endless questions and debates, all that you will gain thereby is a glib tongue, while at the same time you will be getting farther and farther away from the way, with no rest to your wandering. To follow the intentions and vagaries of your mind is to be separated from yourself as far as the earth from the sky. But if you have really found your true self, then you can pass through fire without being burned, speak a whole day without really moving your lips and teeth, and without having really uttered a single word, wear your clothes and take your meal every day without really touching a single grain of rice or a single thread of silk. Even this talk is but a decoration on the door of our house. The important thing is to realize your experiential realization of this state."
Before I discuss the great matter of Zen, Avirbhava has brought few ancient gods to be inaugurated for her museum of gods. Before I tell her to show you what she has brought and her assistant, Anando has also brought few small gods. The research on the subject of the rat as an object of worship, it is an very ancient god, but is still prevalent, not dead. The research is by the appropriate person, Sardar Gurdayal Singh. The rat is the charioteer of the elephant god Ganesh. According to the myth, it is worshipped all over India and especially in Maharashtra. The rats are said to consume more grain than the people of India. They are one of the causes of India's poverty, and their growth rate is far bigger than the Indian people. During Indira Gandhi's rule, there were suggestions brought to the parliament about how to tackle this problem. Immediately, opposition leaders of Morarji Desai's party argued that a poisoning of rats was out of the question because that would hurt the religious feelings of Maharashtrian people. The only possible solution to this menace of rats destroying the grain stocks that was considered was to make the rats aware of birth control. But how to get this message to the rats? The opposition claimed that they had done their duty by suggesting this great solution, the implementing of birth control upon the rats would be the ruling party's affair. That was the end of the debate. Since that time, Morarji Desai himself has been a prime minister. And again the question was brought. Now he was in a difficult situation. As a Gandhian, he is against birth control. Instead of birth control, celibacy is the solution. In the first place, to talk about teaching the rats for birth control, he should have considered that he is going against Gandhian philosophy. They should be taught how to be celibate. Secondly, when he was in opposition, he has proposed himself that this is the only solution. They cannot be killed. Although because of them, the whole India is suffering from poverty. Now that he was in the ruling party, the prime minister, he could not go against his word. He was in a difficult situation. And by that time, the rats has gone far bigger and far more in numbers than at the time of Indira. Right now, they are eating 3 times more than the Indian population. Soon they will starve the whole population, But the politician, cowards, will not take any step. Morarji put it aside into the file that an investigation should be made of how to introduce birth control to the rats. This is the way of the cunning politicians. Always make an investigation committee which does great work in 2-3 years, then brings the report and it is filed away. By that time, most probably, the Prime Minister is gone. And the new Prime Minister has no obligation to be bothered with any report that has been asked by the previous one. It is strange that people can see human beings dying, but they cannot hurt their stupid feelings, which they call religious feelings. The whole idea is so stupid. The elephant god Ganesh is a myth. The story is that Shiva's wife was taking a bath. It seems she must have been taken the bath for the first time in her life, because so much dust and rust came out from her body that just being in the bathroom, she became playful and made a statue from that rust and dust that has come from her body. And because she is a goddess, she breathed life into the statue. This is how Ganesha is born. And she told Ganesha that I am taking bath, so you sit down outside on the steps. Your father is out. Don't allow anybody in. But he had no idea of the father, who is the father. In fact, nobody has any idea who is the father. It is not only Ganesh. Everybody is simply believing. More often, it is not the case. Shiva came, and Shiva is a very angry god. And Ganesha stopped him, that my mother is taking bath. Shiva said, your mother? I have been out. And how you have been born? In rage, he cut the head of Ganesh and threw the head into the valleys. They lived on the Himalayas. And he entered into the house and asked the wife, what is the matter? Who is this fellow sitting outside? I have cut his head and thrown the head into the forest. The wife was very angry. She told the whole story how she has made him. He said, "My God, so I have killed my own son." He went into search, but where to find in the Himalayas where that head has gone? He just found a small elephant. So he cut the head of the elephant and put on top of that child. He also, being the Supreme God, managed to glue them together perfectly. But because the child was small and the head was too heavy, he needed some kind of horse or vehicle to be carried. He could not walk with that weight. And these stupid ideas have prevailed on millions of people. So he looked around and found a rat. Morarji Desai should consult him how he managed to teach him to carry the chariot of Ganesha. So Ganesha rides on the rat. Such a poor fellow rat is carrying such a load. And he is loved and worshipped all over India and more particularly in Maharashtra. So nobody can say that it is a simple question. Just kill those rats. But anybody who says that most probably will be killed. Particularly, no politician is going to take the risk, because who is going to vote him? Against the rat, nobody can win. And he has been doing so much harm. That just 10 years more and he will finish everything and leave this country a graveyard. But still the politicians will not take any step. More about rats. The rat has been used as a symbol of the cosmos. The head, neck and body signify the upper planes of Atma, self, buddhi, intelligence and higher manas. Awareness, consciousness. Each leg of the rat represents a different plane, the lower manas, the lower mind, the astral mind, the etheric mind, and other physical aspects. Now these idiots who go on making such metaphors and symbols should be imprisoned and punished but they are worshipped and respected as great scholars. The Dakotan explanation for why the moon wanes is that it is eaten by a multitude of rats. In Germanic belief, the soul assumes the form of a rat or mouse, and in this form may come forth from a sleeper's mouth. So beware in your sleep. Never allow your mouth to open. The rat may escape. I have heard the story that Nancy Reagan phoned his doctor that comes soon. A rat has entered into snoring Ronald Reagan's mouth. The doctor said, I am coming, but it will take few minutes. Meanwhile, you do one thing. Hold a small piece of cheese over the mouth. Perhaps the rat may turn back. When the doctor reached after 10 minutes, he could not believe his eyes. Nancy Reagan was waving a cat over the face of Reagan. He said, my God, this way the rat will go even deeper. And I have told you to hang a piece of cheese. I said, that is the problem. The rat pulled the cheese in. Now something powerful. I am holding this cat to pull the cheese and the rat both out. Now you have come, I am relaxed, you do the work. But there has really a religious belief in Germany obviously, the soul must enter from somewhere and must get out from somewhere. Some place is needed, and mouth seems to be the right place. If you are sleeping with somebody else, then it is even more dangerous. Somebody else's rat may enter in your mouth. Always keep your mouth shut. For safety and security. Neither allow the inner one to go out, nor allow the outer ones to come in. The name of the rat is taboo in some parts of Europe. In Bohemia, a white mouse should not be killed. It should be taken out of the trap and fed, otherwise luck will desert the house and other rats increase in number. Sometimes it's spells are used to keep down the numbers. Elsewhere, 4 pairs of rats are married and set adrift with the idea that this will cause the other mice to go away. When they see that others are going on honeymoon, just get a boat and go on a honeymoon. Why you are wasting your life unnecessarily in these dark holes when others are enjoying fresh air of the river? The idea seems to be good. Rats are an omen of death in Austria. Elsewhere, they are a good omen. In Zarathustra, the rat is an evil animal, and the killing of one rat equals in merit the slaying of 4 lions. So if you are a rat, you are equal to 4 lions. Don't be worried. If your wife calls you rats, she is calling you, you are equal to 4 lions. In Jewish folklore, eating anything not by a rat causes loss of memory. When cats which eat rats do not remember their masters. Rats destroy the memory system. That's why cats go on forgetting who is their master. Dogs never do that. They always remember their master. The reason is that they don't eat rats. And simultaneously, Ananda is also contributing something to Avirbhava's Museum of Gods, the monkey. The monkey has also been a problem in India. You cannot shoot a monkey. A monkey can shoot you. There is no constitutional law against that. Just in 1955, in the capital of North India, Lucknow, there is a very beautiful temple of the monkey god Hanuman, surrounded by great trees, a very ancient temple, and hundreds of monkeys live on those trees. People go with food, flowers, sweets, and those monkeys, of course, Hanuman is just a stone, but the real monkeys are all around. They are flourishing, becoming stronger. Suddenly something happened in 1955. Nobody knows the actual cause, but they became against any kind of uniform. So the policeman, the postman, the the military man, the sannyasin, nobody could pass that street. Those monkeys will jump and hit him hard, snatch him, took away his clothes, and he will run naked, blood oozing. And it is a main street in Lucknow. And the assembly of Lucknow could not decide what to do. It is something strange that monkeys and dogs both are against uniforms. Both seems to be very revolutionary people. Uniform means very orthodox. Just imitating each other. Dogs immediately start barking when they see the postman, or the policeman, or the sannyasin. Anybody who is wearing a uniform is provoking the dog, the monkey, to fight against this traditionalism. But it used to be that monkeys only threaten from the trees, make faces. But in Lucknow, perhaps somebody has hit them. Nobody knows the cause. But for 15 days they made such a chaos that the whole market has to be closed, and the government could not decide to suit those monkeys, because to suit them the whole Hindu population's religious heart will be hurt. It was just because nobody came on that road, those monkeys came to their senses, because now no more food was available. So finally a negotiation happened that we will not harm anybody, just indirect, because they could see the point. If nobody passes the road, nobody comes to the temple, they don't have any food. They don't have any flowers. Otherwise, they were the blessed monkeys, very rich. Seeing the situation in 15 days, they had to surrender. Slowly, slowly, people started opening their shops, moving on the street, first cautiously. But government has alerted the people that nobody should shoot a monkey. Rather than calling the army to shoot the monkeys, they ordered people that if you shoot a monkey, you will be thought a criminal. And you will be treated just as if you have shooted a man. No discrimination will be made. These poor politicians are ruling all over the world. And they are ruled by all kinds of superstitions and stupidities. Animism, or the worship of animals, is not uncommon in the East. The monkey is among those animals worshipped, like the tiger and the snake out of fear. It is said that the monkey is a symbol of the lower mind, which imitates or reflects the higher, or represents the automatic mind. The monkey god Hanuman, son of Vayu, the god of winds, is worshipped today in India. He is a symbol of the intellect which comes from the higher mind. Vayu, the god of the winds and the orthodox villages in India, the life of the monkey is free from harm and is magic. And its magic influence is implored against the whirlwind, while it is also invoked to avert sterility. The bones of monkeys are said to pollute the ground. Mentioning a monkey brings starvation for the rest of the day, but it is regarded as lucky to keep one in the stable. It is seriously believed in Africa and South America that monkeys can talk but do not, for fear of being made to work. That is really good. That if they talk, there is every danger man will force them to work. It is better to keep quiet. I have heard about a small child who would not talk. He was taken to this psychologist, to that psychiatrist, to this psychoanalyst. Nobody could manage him to utter a single word. He will listen perfectly well. He was checked, his ears were perfect. He was hearing. But he will not show even a sign from his eyes or face that he has heard. Just one day, on the dining table, she shouted at his mother that, "Where is the salt?" The mother said, "My God, you have never spoken before." He said, "Never anything was missing. Why should I have spoken?" I knew all those psychoanalysts and psychiatrists and all the nonsense they were talking. But to speak means going to school, and that I hate. This is just because of the salt that I had to speak in spite of me. But it is just between me and you. Don't tell anybody, because I will never speak again. And nobody is going to believe you anyway." There was not a witness either. The mother was at a loss. She told her husband, but the husband said, "It is not possible. 6 years silent. And suddenly, you will have to give me a proof. Make him speak again, but he will not speak. He has made the point clear that speaking means going to school. this idea in South America and South Africa, both far away places, is that they understand your language, but they will not speak just out of fear that they would be forced to work. Another story suggests that apes carry off women to the woods. In many places, the respect for the monkey is based on the belief that it is the abode of the human spirit. Among the Hottentots, the killer of a baboon has to sacrifice a sheep or goat and hang the lowest vertebra around his neck, or he will suffer from lumbago. In China, the monkey is regarded as lucky in that it keeps sickness away, while in Java, an offering made to the king of the monkeys is believed to cure sterility. Now, Avirbhava, bring your red and Ananda, your monkeys. Sannyasins from around the world to find out all the animals that have been worshipped by human beings, to show to everyone that what kind of past we have gone through. And still there are people who are worshipping animals. Religion has been reduced to such nonsense. And the harm is that people become involved in these absolutely absurd ideas and forget completely about themselves. The only religion is the religion of being conscious . All other religions are simply toys for children. But we go on living unconsciously without seeing people, what they are doing. They celebrate the monkeys, the elephants, they worship even the rats. This is such an undignified state of affairs that it has to be changed completely. So Avir Bhava's Museum of the Gods will be immensely significant for visitors to show them that this is your past, this is your religion, and this is still your present. You cannot simply say it is past. And do you want to realize yourself through rats? This museum will be of great insight to anybody who comes here without any prejudice. Otherwise, it will bring many cases against me. Although we are not harming their gods, they will be taken care of. But we are putting them in museum where all your scriptures and all your ideologies also belong. We want a complete breakthrough from the past so that man can have his wings into the sky of consciousness, absolutely free. That is the revolution of Zen. Yunmen said, my duty compels me to attempt the impossible, even in telling you to look directly into yourself and to be unconcerned about other things. I am already burying the real thing under verbiage. This is the way the authentic master speaks, knowing perfectly that even he is doing something wrong. Is speaking about the truth is not right, but it is absolutely necessary to give some indication. The words are used not for themselves, but to indicate the wordless. Sounds are used to indicate the soundless, the silence. Yunmen says, I am already burying the real thing under verbiage. He is asking your forgiveness. If you proceed from thence and set out in quest of words and sentences, curdling your brains over your logical meanings, working out 1,000 possibilities and 10,000 subtle distinctions, and creating endless expressions and debates, all that you will gain thereby is a glib tongue, while at the same time you will be getting farther and farther away from the way, with no rest to your wandering. To follow the intentions and vagaries of your mind is to be separated from yourself as far as the earth from the sky. But if you have really found your true self, then you can pass through fire without being burnt, speak a whole day without really moving your lips and teeth, and without having really uttered a single word, wear your clothes and take your meal every day without really touching a single thread of silk or a single grain of rice, even this talk is but a decoration on the door of our house. The important thing is your experiential realization of this state. He is saying that in your innermost being, the unknown, the miraculous, the Buddha lives. It cannot be burned. Your consciousness cannot be burned, cannot be destroyed by any other means. It is indestructible. He is not referring to your body. Your body will be burned. You cannot pass through fire. You will be drowned in water. But your innermost being, of which you are unaware, which is the source of your life, in meditation, you have to find that space, that clear sky, and then a metamorphosis, a revolution happens on its own accord. You start changing without any effort, because of the new clarity, the new light, the new experience, the new acquaintance with yourself. The whole existence becomes new. A man who knows himself cannot worship rats. A man who knows himself cannot worship monkeys or elephants. A man who knows himself cannot worship at all
Because worship is outwards. He cannot pray at all because all prayers are addressed to somebody else. He can only meditate. He can only be silently drowned in his own splendor, which is not his own. Slowly, slowly, as it deepens, he becomes aware it is the splendor of our whole universe. We are not only parts, we are one with the whole. The whole has expressed itself in many ways, then everything becomes divine. The very earth you are sitting becomes divine, and whatever you are doing becomes divine. But first you have to find the divine element within yourself. It is not a belief system. It is an inquiry. It is as scientific investigation as any science can claim. In fact, no science is so scientific as meditation. Because all sciences deny the existence of the scientist. They are experimenting with things, but they don't want to say anything about who is working inside them, what it is. On that point, they remain absolutely silent because it cannot be made objective. It cannot be put on their table so they can dissect it and find all the elements in it. It is non-material. Hence, the scientist is bound to remain with a superstition that the world is only objective, that the world has only the outside. Can you see the irrationality in it? Outside can exist only if there is an inside. If you deny inside, you cannot accept the outside. They both come together. The mystic is more scientific in the way that he accepts the world, the universe, its beauty, and he accepts the beauty and splendor of his own being. Ryokan wrote, "If you speak delusions, everything becomes a delusion. If you speak the truth, everything becomes the truth. Outside the truth, there is no delusion. But outside delusion, there is no special truth. Followers of Buddha's way, why do you so earnestly seek the truth in distant places? Look for delusion and truth in the bottom of your own hearts. Don't go anywhere, just go in." An icon's haiku, so small but so immensely beautiful. Joy in the morning, sleep in the evening, what else? If you can feel the joy in the morning, if you can feel the joy of being alive, every breath becomes a blessing, is a blessing. If you can see sleep as a great rest and relaxation in the evening, what else do you want? In your insight, everything becomes a joy, and everything points to the same moon, the same truth. Manisha has asked, "Beloved Bhagwan, I can't remember when you last passed to look at your watch to decide whether to speak further or not. Does that mean we are juicier to be with lately?" Manisha, it means many things. It certainly means that my assembly of the Buddhas has become more juicier. It has become more alert, less judgmental, more experimental. It also means that when you are all so deeply involved, I don't have to look at the watch. When I see anybody disturbed, fidgeting, feeling that it is too late, then only I have seen my watch. For years I have not seen. Sometimes it is not showing the time at all. There is nothing to see in it. One day Chetana reminded me that your watch it is 7 and your watch is saying 4. I said, it does not matter. As my days are becoming lesser and lesser on this earth, nothing matters than one thing, that I should pour myself into you as much as possible. Tomorrow I may not be here, so I should complete the celebration today. Tomorrow you may have to celebrate alone. It is all, the whole credit goes to Ronald Reagan, poisoning me. He has taken away from you, ...20 years of my life at least. I am fighting with the poison. And it has been a good challenge for me. But for you, it can be a loss any moment. I'm just living on the fringes. When I go to sleep, I say goodbye to the world, because I don't know for certain that tomorrow morning I will wake up. When I wake up, I am amazed that one more celebration, one day more to laugh with my people, to be part of their silences, to have my heart beat with their hearts. Looking at the watch has become irrelevant. I go on wearing the watch so that you don't become afraid. Because if I don't wear the watch, you can be certain that my time is up. Something really serious. Magnus Marx wants to buy a talking parrot for his wife's birthday. He hears that a rare Brazilian banana parrot is being auctioned. So he goes along to the sales room to have a look at it. The auctioneer puts the bird up on the stand before the crowded sales room. $25 bids Magnus. $35 comes another bidder. Magnus bids again $40. $50 cries the other bidder. 10 minutes later, a sweating Magnus hands over $200 to the auctioneer. "That's a wonderful parrot you have bought, sir," says the auctioneer as he pockets the money. "I know he is beautiful," agrees Magnus, "but there is just one thing I forgot to ask before. Does this word talk, repeats the auctioneer. "For the last 10 minutes, he has been bidding against you." Slugo, the deaf-mute gangster, is discovered to be stealing money regularly from the local mafia godfather. Slugo runs to the priest and begs in sign language for protection. Father Finger agrees to protect him, then arrange a meeting with the mafia godfather. The mafia chieftain, upon seeing Slugo, becomes so enraged that he pulls out his pistol, puts it against Slugo's head and says to Father Finger, tell him that if he does not say where that $1,000,000 is, I will finish him right here. Did you say $1,000,000? Asked Father Finger. Yeah, that's right, shouts the fuming ganglord, waving his gun madly. Now tell him to talk or die. Finger turns to Slugo and signs him a message. The deaf mute, trembling with fear, signs back to the priest that the money is hidden in a cardboard box in the basement of his apartment building. Really? Exclaims Father Finger aloud. Well, roars the mafia godfather, what the hell is he saying? He says, replies Father Finger quietly, that you don't have the balls to pull the trigger. Larry and Lottie Lovedich, the middle-aged suburban couple, are spending Saturday afternoon gardening. Lottie looks tense and uneasy until suddenly she throws down her clippers, stomps over to her husband and kicks him hard on the bum. What is that for? Asks a puzzled Larry. That is for being a lousy lover, screams Lottie. Larry loves his backside and goes back to digging the weeds. 5 minutes later, he drops his shovel, stomps over to his wife and kicks her into the bushes. You monster, screams Lottie. What was the reason for that? That, replies Larry, is for knowing the difference. Nivedana, give the beat. darling. Close your eyes. Feel the body to be frozen. No movement. Just settle in deeper and deeper. This is the only temple. This silent space is the only Buddha. It remember to make it more clear, Nivedana, relax, let go. Just be a watcher. The body is there, the mind is there, you are simply aware of them. This awareness is beyond life and death. This awareness is the meaning of the word Buddha. Drink as much of it as possible. Be drenched. Carry out this awareness around the clock. And your life will become a beatitude. A great bliss, an ecstasy. A revolution. Okay, Manisha?
Yes, Bhagwan.
Can we celebrate the gathering of the Buddhas?
Yes, Bhagwan.